Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola. We're experimenting with a new format for the weekend, a 15 minute or so, excuse me, still have a cold, recap, highlights of the previous week's broadcast, two broadcasts, and any breaking news. And we have some interesting breaking news today on Nidal Hassan, I think that's his name, the U.S. Army major, who's apparently an Islamist proselytizer, and apparently he was involved at a conference of Homeland Security, the transition group at the George Washington University, I think it's in St. Louis, which was to advise the Obama administration on Homeland Security issues. And the question is, were those people vetted who went to that conference and were to give input into the incoming Obama administration? Was this guy, since he had was this just didn't crop up his outburst and his political agenda that opposed American involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan and the Middle East. Excuse me, I still have this cold. I'm getting over it. The question is, we look at these white supremacists, or at least the media does, or the what I call the morons in the media, who have complained about alleged white supremacists and neo-Nazis joining the American military. Yet, when we look at the other side of the coin, these Islamists and Muslim fundamentalists or moles, and there have been moles are always somebody or some people who crop up in every military and government services around the world. It's not something that's new. We've had them, communist moles, for years in the U.S. State Department, in British MI5, the British Foreign Services, the French government, the German government. In fact, Willy Brandt's government was brought down because of the Dr. Otto John spy episode, and we'll get into that another time. But what's important is, since this guy had a record, it was known that he was making the proselytizing for Islamic agendas. Why wasn't he put under surveillance? Was he not a person of interest? So these are questions I guess we'll answer. And also, some military people have raised the issue: why isn't Major Nidal, instead of being in the hospital, why isn't he in a military brig? Doesn't Fort Hood have a military brig with a medical facility? So these are questions that need to be addressed and answered fully and promptly. I'm going to upcoming. We're having a special Veterans Day program on Wednesday, the 11th, instead of Thursday, and our guest will be Art Burnclaw, who has dedicated his life. He's a military veteran of the Korean and Vietnam War. He's dedicated his life to helping veterans learn their rights if they don't, assert their rights if they can't, and to prevent their rights being violated when they're in a position that it's difficult for them to assert them because they didn't know them in the first place. So he will be our guest on November 11th. We will have a segment coming up on the local civilian abuse of federal military personnel who are in civilian custody and who are treated as detainees and what we call military detainee abuse by local civilian authorities. And there are more cases cropping up. It's not only the Stephen Neri U.S. Navy case, the 18-year-old sailor, now 13 years in California state prison system, which has cost the American taxpayer an estimated $15 million. And not only $10 million of those dollars went to build an affordable housing facility here in San Francisco named after the homosexual predator who tried to rape him that night, lured him to his house in a remote part of San Francisco. And that's well documented, and there'll be a video up on YouTube. You're invited to go to our YouTube Amicus Veritas site. It's eclectic. There are many things up there. There'll be many more of different subjects ranging on how to protect yourself health-wise, assert your rights, reckless drivers, that's an affiliated website. There's an epidemic of reckless driving and people around the continent, from Montreal, Canada to San Francisco, people are raising the issue that these reckless drivers are killing people, injuring people, killing people, driving up insurance rates, and that's something that for people who have the medical pay on their policies, that's something that's not been addressed by these congressional people who are supposed to be the fount of all knowledge and wisdom when it comes to medical insurance. And we'll have a special December 7th program. It's a lot of things that are issues that have come up and aspects of the world Pearl Harbor episodes that have come up, and the illegal prosecution or questionable prosecution of Tokyo Rose Diakino, a person who I met and who I was also involved in petitioning President Ford for giving her a pardon. I'm going to play a little excerpt from Ingle, the last Bengal Lancer. Here it goes.
I'm interviewing one of my old friends, one of the last great generals of the past, Brigadier Ingalls, the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers. Welcome, General. How are you?
Oh, no, don't go. I'm fine, thank you very much. Nice to see you again. What are all the leading questions you're going to ask me?
Well, it would be, what effect do you think does the Russian defeat and withdrawal from the subcontinent, what would that have on the current situation? How would that change?
On whose situation?
For Pakistan and India.
Well, I think it's to the advantage of both of these countries that they should remove their physical presence from Afghanistan. As you know, for many hundreds of years, the Russians have wanted to obtain a warm water port down on the Arabian Sea, or the Indian Ocean, as the Indians call it. But the British, of course, resisted that for many generations, and I would say that the situation could only improve as far as Pakistan and India were concerned. It's one less threat to their territorial integrity. And, of course, we're all hopeful that Afghanistan will find a government of her own choosing that is satisfactory to the people of Afghanistan, and they begin to put their lives together and repair all the damages that have been done in these 7 or 8 years of war, and that they become successful, and we have a neighbor who is economically sound and basically friendly.
General, the reference you made was the Russians seeking a warm water port. Were you referring to the Crimean War?
Well, that was partly something to do with it, but really what I was thinking of, the British had, I think it was 3 or 4 wars with the Afghans. And the Russians were behind each of them, so they say, or so history says, and it was really to keep Afghanistan under the thumb of British policy that those wars were fought. One or two of them were disasters, in fact.
General, one of the claims that the Russians had made was that by invading Afghanistan or coming to the aid of the government that was friendly to them, that they were liberating women and other social reformation. Do you have any comment on that?
I don't think that was quite their intention. I think their intention was to have another of their neighbors, a communist country, following their own line of procedures and thought and social and political beliefs. And it failed, I'm glad to say, but of course there are many countries in and or around Russia that are still under their thumb, particularly up in the north, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland to a degree, Czechoslovakia also.
Brigadier, do you think that Benazir Bhutto would it be analogous to say that she's the Corazon Aquino of the region?
I really don't know sufficient about the Philippine lady to comment, but the fact is that the Prime Minister of Pakistan is the first lady to lead a Muslim country, and she's one of the first ladies in the world to lead a country, Mrs. Thatcher and one or two others, but the number is very small. And I personally am delighted to see it. Listening to this lady, I've not had the privilege of meeting her, but she seems to have some very sound ideas. She seems to be moving in a rather slow and methodical manner. Her father had some rather wild and, in my opinion, policies of nationalization and his Praetorian Guard and one thing and another. At present, at any rate, she hasn't shown any inclination to go that route. And of course, she's been wise in that she has taken over a number of the advisors and politicians and statesmen of the previous regime. Notably, of course, Yaqub Khan, the foreign minister. And it seems to me that she's a young lady with a good deal of sound common sense, and she's moving in a very methodical and statesmanlike manner.
Has there been any further information on the mysterious death of Prime Minister General Zia?
No, there are all sorts of speculations going on, but officially, I don't think any of them really hold water that I've heard. They're all so far out, they sound like something out of a movie. But who knows, nowadays there are so many ways and weapons of destroying someone you don't like, so perhaps I'm being a little naive about it.
Do you think that a lot of...
Well, we cut the interview there because our 15 minutes is coming up. I invite you to tune in to our YouTube Amicus Veritas video and audio websites. There's many things up there. It's eclectic. It covers history, health, politics, public corruption, pedophilia in our schools, the crotch politics agenda. So, and also tune in next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard and 7 Central and 6 Mountain time for Art Burnclaw, the expert on the military veterans' rights. So thank you for listening to our Saturday test here, the 15-minute little capsule of the highlights of the week. And to start asking more questions about, are there more of these Islamic or Muslim moles or political operatives in our federal government on the local level, because there's a lot of money being spread around, and also in our military, which is very important, and possibly in security services. We've been through these moles before with the spies that stole the atomic bomb, the British... Philby and that crowd. We've had problems with the KGB over here infiltrating the American services. So, you know, we've got to get real about these. It goes on, and every government in the world engages in spying, justifying it for their own security. But we need to think about ours. So So this is Peter Paul Brizola. Thank you for listening.